Views of KUCI or the University of California at Irvine.
That's music from Julian Marley, Lion in the Winter, as we ease into this week's edition of Talking Animals at 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine, streaming live on the internet at kuci.org, kuci.org. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all things animal. Before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another stirring post-vacation version. The Serena Sharp Show. Here we're talking animals primarily. We strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. It's been not quite 2 months since we launched Talking Animals, and we've already been extremely fortunate to have a string of terrific guests, ranging from Ralph Helfer, a legendary figure in the animal world and pioneer in the area of affection training, to Deanna Foth Martin, who founded two wonderful Newport Beach-based organizations that Rescue cats and dogs, function as sort of a foster care adoption agency, and help cover the various vet, food, and other costs in the process. We also spoke with Greg Ginn from the legendary punk rock band Black Flag, whose chief passion these days is helping rescue feral and other homeless cats. And he's got a couple of Black Flag reunion concerts coming up at the Hollywood Palladium next month that are specifically benefits for various cat rescue organizations. More recently, we had a conversation with Chris DeRose, a longtime activist and founder of Last Chance for Animals, all about the plight of circus animals. And last week we did 2 hours, filling in one of those hours for Serena Sharp, and spoke with Kirk Olson, a gifted singer-songwriter who's released a CD of 12 canine-centric tunes called Dog Songs. And in the second hour, an interview with Sunny Benedict, a remarkable woman who founded the Baja Animal Sanctuary just over the Mexican border near Rosarito Beach. So clearly here at Talking Animals, we're trying to hit a broad array of guests, a varied mix spanning all regions of the animal world. And continuing that vein, we're delighted in this hour to bring you a conversation with Tawny Lee Thompson, a vet tech loosely affiliated with the Red Cross, who teaches classes in pet, first aid, and CPR. I'm not kidding, seriously. Many of us, of course, are certified in first aid and CPR for adults and children, but we'll find out all kinds of things about the world of such training as it applies or would be applied to the cats and dogs who live with us, not to mention, presumably, animals we might encounter around and about, like Serena was mentioning a moment ago. So we'll get into those details, including how you might enroll in a class where you could indeed be certified in pet first aid and CPR when we speak with Tawny Lee Thompson in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, on Talking Animals, it's time to for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news. And I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals. Obviously, hope you'll call in when Tawny joins us as well with your questions about pet first aid and CPR and those matters, but also any other animal topic you care to discuss. Announcements, news items, observations, any comments, of course, about past shows, topics we've covered previously, that kind of thing. And if you happen to attend the Animal Rights 2000 West Conference that wrapped up last Wednesday, if you have any reactions or thoughts on that you'd like to share, that'd be most welcome. Also, and again, if you've seen Seabiscuit even, or Winged Migration for that matter, I'd love to hear your comments on the cinematic animal world. So the number is 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So give us a call about any or all those things, or even something else that we didn't even cover there. So we're going to turn now to interesting or important developments recently in the animal news world, or things that are coming up. These are typically local, regional, national, or international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight, but I'd like to get your comments on and discuss. We'll also try to include a few announcements each time on upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar if you haven't already done so. Also, if there are ever news stories or announcements you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@aol.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with your comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, items, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, as long as they're all animal related, of course, and any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email again is talkinganimals@aol.com. And I was just thinking, might as well plug that in. Bless you.
Thank you.
We have intern Mary here joining us in the studio and checking out the proceedings. And just that probably go right in there. Can you hear? Yeah. Okay, cool. So anyway, that's the story. That's the scoop with the animal news. So let's talk turkey, as it were. First of all, I want to say, as I do each week virtually, a little something about Tiger Rescue, the facility out in Colton that's been in the news off and on for the last few months. And again, basically the short story is so-called sanctuary for tigers, other big cats, as well as other animals, criminally neglected, which I think I can safely say since the proprietor is up on criminal charges. So in the meantime, for the last 2+ months, those animals are still there, need to be looked after, and a really amazing man named Chuck Tracy has kind of stepped in to oversee the day-to-day operation. But otherwise, those animals are looked after, clean, fed, watered, etc., by a ongoing battalion of volunteers, and it's pretty amazing work. It's it's not easy. It's warm out there, and you're shoveling tiger poop, etc. But you're also really helping animals who've had a really rough go, and it's very, very satisfying. And so if you think you could carve out a day, a weekday in particular, but a weekend, of course, is great as well, please email us at talkinganimals@aol.com, and we'll hook you up because they continue to need help out there. They have moved a few of the animals, but there's still plenty of them as well. Sarah? Hi. So I just urge you to try to help out. You'll be really, really happy that you did. So just one sec. Don't go away. I won't go away. Okay, well, that was more dead air than I think we meant to have with our intern sitting here in particular. But we're also getting ready to have our guest, Honey Lee Thompson, join us. And so she'll be with us in one moment. We might skip some of our animal news, come back to it momentarily. But at any rate, yeah, if you could find your way to get out to Tiger Rescue in Colton, I think you'll be really, really happy for doing so. So... also, just a little recap on an event that we sort of focused on last week on Talking Animals. There was a Comedy in the Vineyards last night in Temecula. It was a hot show in all respects. It was, I think, over 100 or so, at least when I got there. But it was a great turnout and a really great comedy show. Dan Rothenberg, Dan Lewis, Tom Ryan, Ian Bagg, and John Panette, all great comics, did a wonderful, wonderful show, and great turnout, and it raised a lot of money, I think, for Baja Animal Sanctuary, which is going to keep those dogs and other animals down there in food for some time to come. So really congratulations to the organizers of that, and thanks for anybody who helped out in any way, turned up, sent checks, and you can still help out, as we talked about, at www.bajadogs.org. And I think we will maybe come back to some other news items as time permits, but I really want to get to our guest, Honey Lee Thompson. Don't want her to hold too much longer. So let's just skip ahead to that. And Tawny?
Yes.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, pretty good.
Good. We want to welcome to the Talking Animals, Tawny Lee Thompson from the Saddleback Veterinarian Animal Center. And she is a vet tech there, and but also, more to the point for our purposes today, she is a Red Cross affiliated pet first aid and CPR instructor. So we have some, all kinds of questions for you about that. But first of all, welcome. Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals, Tawny Lee.
Thanks.
So let's just sort of take a moment and get into the history. How long have such classes existed?
I'm not sure when the original program started. We actually found out about it from a client about 4 or 5 years ago, and we were really excited about it because we really are proponents here of client education. And so a bunch of us went up and took the class and took the instructor course and became instructors for it. And unfortunately, with the time commitment and stuff, I'm the only one teaching it currently from our hospital, though there is one other employee here who's trying to get into it too. It started up in L.A., is from what I understand. I don't know if it was taught in other states, too, but it started up in L.A.
I see. And how long have you been teaching it yourself, then?
Since 99.
Okay,
and
great.
And I just had my 16th class.
Wow.
Counted and figured it out. So,
sure. And does anyone require Tani, like, you know, I mean, for human counterparts, you know, teachers, lifeguards, adoptive parents, others are required to be certified in first aid and CPR. But do you know of any requirement that's comparable when it comes to animals?
I don't believe that there is, though a lot of the people that have taken the class work at shelters or do pet sitting, things of that nature, mm-hmm. where it's really useful, but there's no actual requirement. I know some of the people who have taken the class have then used that as part of their, shall we say, resume or part of their recommendations, being that they've got this knowledge now, too.
I see. And so, if nothing else, I'm sure for a lot of people, just again, regular, you know, sort of human-oriented first aid and pet CPR, there's just probably an idea of just feeling more comfortable and confident knowing that, you know, you have that training under your belt.
Absolutely. We have a range of people who take the class, from first-time pet owners who have just, they're panicked that they're going to do something wrong, all the way up to people who've had them all their lives. Some people have elderly animals or animals who have known medical conditions where they're specifically looking for care for those problems if they pop up.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the whole gamut of people who take the class.
And it's basically a three-hour class, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm going to see if I can find the basic course description, and then we might just try to hit a few of the key points. So it's a three-hour course that teaches individuals to recognize and respond to pet emergencies. The class will cover how to approach and handle injured pets, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, controlled bleeding, and treatment of shock, as well as how to manage more common emergencies, choking, snake bites, fractured limbs, and poisoning. And then that does indeed get you certified mm-hmm. in pet first aid. So it's a three-hour class, and we want to encourage anyone interested to enroll, and we'll repeat the contact information for Tanya Lee in the classes, momentarily. But in our, you know, considerably shorter time here, maybe you could outline just some of the key lessons that you want your students to learn about pet first aid for cats and dogs. Like, what are the, you know, what's kind of the most important issue for people to walk away from that class with?
Well, the biggest thing that we focus on is prevention. So many really common accidents are preventable or at least minimizable just by planning ahead. Just like having a small child in the house, you have to puppy or kitty proof your home. And a lot of people don't think about the fact that when you're leaving things out that are dangerous, your animal doesn't know they're dangerous and will eat them or play with them or whatever mm-hmm. and get hurt.
Right.
Keeping your animals properly identified at all times so that if they get out, they have a little bit better chance of getting home. Properly restraining your animals when they're out or if they're supposed to be in the home, keeping them in the home so that they're not getting out and getting hit by cars or attacked by wild animals or whatever.
Sure.
So all of those are prevention, and we really, really push that. Accidents happen, that's why they're called accidents, but a lot of them, it's a shame because you look back and they were things that could have been avoided if you planned ahead.
Yeah.
So that's really our big focus. The other thing that I try to focus on, I use a comparison to, I took a self-defense class a long time ago with my mother, and one of the things the instructor said is, you probably won't remember anything specifically that you learned today, but the hope is that when you end up in a situation where you need to know this, you'll know that there's something you can do and you won't freeze. And once you start doing something, the rest of it will follow. And that's really what I push in the classes. Don't expect to remember every single thing you learn, but you're not going to feel like you did nothing.
Yeah.
And most of the stuff is kind of logical and kind of common sense. So once you start doing something and you get past that initial panic stage, then you can do something effective, and you may give your animal just that little bit of extra time it needs to get to a vet or to be stable so it can be cared for.
Sure, sure. And by the way, we want to say that if anybody listening has any calls for Tani Lee about first aid, pet matters, it's 949-824-5824 to join us here on the show. Kind of on a related note, in terms of just your point about, sort of thinking ahead and preventative measures, What are the ingredients of, I know one of the items that's covered in the course is a pet-friendly first aid kit. What are some of the items that you would recommend, especially some of those that maybe people wouldn't necessarily anticipate?
Yeah, usually what we recommend is you start with a really good quality human first aid kit, because most of the stuff is pretty similar as far as your bandaging material and things of that nature. Then you might want to add things specifically for your pet. We do recommend having a leash in there, having a muzzle in there, preferably one that fits your pet. Even the most wonderful animal in the world, if they're in pain or they're very frightened, can hurt you. Even if they adore you, they're not thinking rationally at that point, and their instinct is to just try to hurt anybody who tries to bother them. So having an appropriate muzzle for your pet. A really big thing that we encourage is if your pet is on medications, to rotate out and keep a fresh batch of medication in your first aid kit. This is great, especially we live in earthquake, fire, flood, whatever, riot country, and it's great to have something that you can just grab and go with. And so that's a great place to keep in an extra stash of meds for your pet, because some of these, if they don't get them for a day, can be life-threatening. It's also, they recommend keeping a picture, a current picture of your pet, so that if your pet is lost, along with all your emergency numbers, your vet, your local, whatever your local emergency care center is, which may be a 24-hour, or some of them are only open on nights and holidays. That's the case in our area. Our local emergency is only open off times. So things like that are good numbers to have available so that when an emergency happens, everything that you need is in one place. You know exactly where it is, and there's no having to hunt for things.
Sure, sure. And it sounds like, as you say, it's a lot of it, at least, is common sense. Like, you would sort of prepare, or anticipate any other kind of medical or other kind of emergency. The more things you have together, kit, information, then, when something hits, even with the stress, it sounds like you'll be ready to kind of function.
Absolutely.
And what are some of the, signs or signals of injuries that do tend to come up a lot for pets?
Well, it kind of depends on the situation. I mean, obviously, if you know your dog's been hit by a car, you're going to know that there's a problem. But a lot of times it's more subtle. We have some owners are really amazing on the things that they'll key into. As we tell owners, you know your pet better than anybody else in the world will ever know your pet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really take it seriously when people come in and go, I don't know what's wrong, but Fluffy's just not acting right today. Something's just not right.
Yeah.
So any drastic change in behavior is usually a cause for concern. Some animals, the heat they might not do well with, or, they may have had a spook from a construction worker outside or something. But as a general rule, animals tend to act in very predictable, normal ways. And so if they've suddenly changed their behavior, if you come home and your beagle is not making a peep, that's a cause for concern.
Sure.
If your animal's acting unusually. So that's a big thing. And just being aware of your household. We've had people who found a trash can knocked over and realized that their dog has eaten something out of it that could hurt them. Things of that nature, just being aware of your pet's environment and things that might be affecting your pet within that environment, keeping track of your pet's appetite, making sure that they're eating and drinking normal amounts and that their urination is normal amounts and normal times, and watching for changes. And anytime there's been a change, that's something to be aware of, and usually you want to alert your vet to that. So, obviously, as I say, the more severe emergencies usually people know, but a lot of times these longer-term things that could have been caught earlier, people just don't notice or don't know that that's something to be concerned about until it's a very serious problem. And then, obviously, that's a lot more severe for both the pet and the client.
Sure, sure. I noticed that someone was calling in, and we couldn't take the call at that moment, but here we go. Maybe, Connie, you want to take a call and see
sure.
just randomly who we might have asking a question about this?
Sure.
Hi, you're on KUCI.
Hello, I have a question, please, for your guest.
Yeah, please. Tawny, you can hear the caller, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Hi. Very, very interesting show. I have a two-year-old Yorkie, and he had something caught in his throat on the weekend. What should I have done? He seems better now. I gave him bread and water, and I could see he could eat, but it was raspy for a whole day.
Okay, well, generally, if they're working themselves to get it out, generally we let them, just like with people, if they're able to breathe and they're not talking to you, obviously, but they seem
right.
coherent, it's good to just stand by in case it becomes more of an emergency. You can help him if he'll allow you by holding him so that his mouth is facing down so that gravity is helping him, because otherwise he's coughing it up and it's falling right back down again. So just a little thing like that sometimes can help them. If it becomes wedged, we do teach in the class the Heimlich, basically, maneuver for dogs. But it's, obviously it's not your first thing you want to jump to, just like with a person. A lot of times they can get it out if they're still actively trying to. So usually your best assistance is just letting gravity help at that point.
I see. That's very helpful. Is the Heimlich then sort of behind the rib cage? Is that the idea?
It's down, yeah. It's down where the diaphragm is, right at the base of the rib cage. And you're keeping in mind that your thrust is towards the mouth, not towards the spine. You're going, you want to aim upwards.
I understand.
That's the most common mistake people make.
One other quick question. Antibiotics, for an antibiotic ointment, for example, is it wrong to put that, if the dog has a cut, to put like a human, like a Neosporin or something like that?
To be honest, I haven't found that they help that much. People who use them, it doesn't seem to really speed the healing process at all. And if they lick it, it could be dangerous because they're not really made to be ingested.
So is there anything that you would recommend that we should keep on hand in that first aid kit? In terms of an ointment,
specifically for that, vitamin E is pretty safe in small amounts. You can put that on a wound, and it can help healing. Other than that, usually they'll take care of it themselves. If they're bothering or licking it, it's really important to keep their mouth off it. So using an Elizabethan collar, those little plastic cone head things, something along those lines, to keep them from causing more damage to themselves is a good idea. But usually they heal themselves. They've got amazing immune systems, and they can fix themselves. Usually a healthy animal will fix itself in a very short period of time.
Okay, well, I do appreciate this. Thank you
My
so
pleasure.
Much.
That's
thanks
okay.
very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. Okay, so Satani Lee, like, what else? You know, from looking at your course objectives, I mean, what's kind of another? We've already, you know, thanks to the caller and some of the things you pointed out, covered some fairly significant things. But what else comes up that really is an important thing for people to leave the class having learned or at least been exposed to from you?
As I said, prevention is our big thing, and just knowing that there's something that you can do and not reacting and just standing there looking at your pet mutely.
Mm-hmm.
Even if all you can do is run to the telephone and call your vet and say, I'm on my way, that gives them a heads up that they need to get prepared for an emergency. We do also focus in the class, too, that putting yourself in danger to help your pet may not be the most effective way to help your pet. If there's a dog wandering around in the middle of the freeway, stopping your car and jumping out isn't really helpful. You're probably going to get hurt, and you're probably not going to be in a position to help the dog anyway. The most you might be able to do in that situation is go to the next exit and call somebody to come get the dog, you know,
sure.
Control or whatever. So it's keeping in mind that you need to react appropriately for the situation, to do whatever you can do, and there are limits on that sometimes, but to act in a way that both promote your pets or whoever pets that is who needs help, safety and your own, and really focusing on, on prevention and planning ahead and trying to minimize the dangers to which our pets are exposed.
Sure. And you probably just touched on one just by the example of the, you know, if a dog or an animal is just so kind of ill or in sort of not a good situation to sort of intervene. What's another, are there kind of very common mistakes that people make in responding to a pet emergency along the lines of that, where they're putting themselves in some jeopardy? I mean, is there something else like that?
Approaching a strange animal,
mm-hmm.
and assuming that they're going to be able to deal with it and getting hurt, that's really common. And sometimes, because your instinct, and I've got the same instinct, I was raised, you know, as an animal fanatic from day one, so it's
sure.
My mom. And so, yeah, your instinct is to jump out and go running and help, and sometimes you're not really helping. You could scare the animal worse or into a worse situation than it already is. So sometimes that's not the right thing to do. So before you react, you need to, you know, think first and go, okay, is this the best way to handle this? How can I best help this animal and not cause any further problems?
Right.
And sometimes, as I say, that means just standing there and kind of guarding the area while you or somebody else calls animal control because they're equipped to deal with it. Or sometimes the most you can do is scare the animal away from a populated area into a less populated area. For your own pet, it's funny because I do tell the class this. I've raised my cat since she was a day old, so she's my child, and I adore her. When she was very small, she got caught up in some wire. She was playing around, and she got tangled up, and she's screaming and hollering because she's all upset.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my first instinct is to grab her. Well, she hurt me badly. I got scratches and bites down pretty deep, and she was little. She was only like 3 pounds at the time.
Wow.
And I should have, thinking back, I should have stopped 2 seconds, grabbed a towel from the bathroom that was right next to where she was, and used that to get her.
Sure.
She was in no immediate danger, and it would have protected me from being harmed. Had she been a larger cat, or had she been a 50-pound dog who had been that fearful, I could have seriously had some very bad damage, and I wouldn't have then been in a position to help her. So sometimes you need to stop, and as I say, stop your natural reaction to just jump in and make sure that what you're doing is the most appropriate and most effective way to be, to respond.
Sure, sure. And what would you say, if you had to pick one, what is like probably the most prevalent pet emergency in your experience?
Oh, God.
Or is there one?
I'd say in this area, one that we really see a lot is animals eating things they shouldn't. And that ranges from foods that are too rich that can cause a condition called pancreatitis, where the body just can't deal with all the fat and it overreacts, and that can be deadly, all the way to we just did surgery on a dog for pantyhose removal.
Wow.
I mean, we've had dogs eat razor blades, eat pills, eat wine corks, eat anything you can think of at some point a dog has ingested. Cats, not so commonly, but we have done. We've had a cat eat earplugs. We've had a cat eat the plastic bags that go around like onions and tomatoes. This cat is a plastic fanatic and periodically feels the need to eat plastic, which doesn't pass very well. So that's probably the most like common everyday we commonly see are these animals who just eat things that they shouldn't, and they're things that the owner didn't even think of being a problem.
Yeah.
Getting into trash cans, climbing into refrigerators and helping themselves on occasion. So that's a big thing.
Wow. Yeah. And how much does that sort of begs a question of how much in the class is instruction, like, you know, some, you know, we're sort of discussing some things here, and how much is practical? Like, again, in a human, you know, CPR class, you have mannequins that you practice on. I mean, how much actual hands-on?
We actually do have a mannequin. His name's Jerry.
Okay.
Is Jerry a cat or a dog? A boy. And we actually, the test of the class, quote-unquote the test, is being able to do all the ABCs and CPR on Jerry.
And is Jerry a cat or a dog?
It's a dog. He's a medium-sized dog. He'd probably be about 50, 60 pounds if he were real. So he's a nice mid-size. And he has an inflatable lung and everything. And we have each person in the class come up. And we do this about midway through the class. It's kind of our break time, and it's a good time. And each person comes up one at a time and has to do the whole ABCs and the CPR on the dog. We do also practice doing makeshift muzzles with just gauze so that if you don't have an actual muzzle around, you've got something to use, things of that nature. But most of the rest of the class is instruction.
I gotcha. Well, it sounds like a nice balance. And we're probably actually just heading toward the end of our time, Tawny Lee. But and we'll again give everybody information on where to find out more or register or get in touch with you. But any sort of final just tip or piece of information that you might offer our listeners? And again, I wanted to say if there's a last minute call, someone would like to ask Tawny Lee something, 949-824-5824 is the number. But anything that's just kind of just a basic, you know, sort of parting. Actually, we do have, do you want to take one more call,
sure,
Tawny Lee, just see what happens? All right, cool. KUCI.
Hi, I'd like to ask a question about splinters.
Okay.
If your cat has a splinter in its paw, is it okay to take it out the way you take out a human splinter?
Absolutely, if your cat will allow that sort of thing. Again, it's really important to keep your cat from continually chewing or licking at the area afterwards, too.
Okay.
But if you can safely remove it, the thing you want to make sure of is that you're not going to break it off and leave a piece inside, because you can then create an abscess, which is obviously a little more serious of a problem.
Yeah.
Or a draining tract if it works its way up inside. Yeah. So, you know, you want to make sure that you can take out the whole thing. If in doubt, you should definitely have your vet look. Usually, the best way is to clip the fur and make sure that area is really cleaned out,
right,
and that the splinter's totally out. But it's really important to keep them from over-grooming it afterwards, where they can actually create a sore where there wasn't one.
I see. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for calling.
Really enjoy your show.
Thanks for calling the Talking Animals. Cool, Tawny. Well, Tawny Lee, let me just give everybody the info before we totally run out of time here. So you are at Saddleback Animal Care Center, and for people to get in touch, find out more about the first aid CPR classes, they can go to the website saddlebackvet.petplace.com. Can also call over to the office at 949-586-4250. Also, if I understand this correctly, you have kind of an email address that's, that you've set up specific for animal-related kind of questions and issues, and that's Tawny, T-A-W-N-Y, Tawny's Info Zoo. Did I get that right?
Yeah, Tawny's Info Zoo.
Okay, at excite.com. And so, yeah, any or all those ways or methods to get in touch with Tawny Lee Thompson and follow up on our conversation today about the classes that she does teach affiliated with the Red Cross and pet first aid and CPR, primarily for cats and dogs, Tony, right? Does do other?
Yeah, some of the stuff is applicable to other species, but that's what we focus on.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Well, I really, really appreciate you joining us here on Talking Animals.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
And maybe we'll speak again about some other animal-related issue, and we hope, again, our listeners follow up with you at the hospital down there, 949-586-4250, website saddlebackvet.petplace.com, or they can email you directly with animal-related stuff at tawnysinfozoo@excite.com. So, Tawny Lee Thompson, thanks again for joining us on Talking Animals.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Bye. All right, well, that was a cool, pretty interesting thing. You don't necessarily run into, I just happened to have to get certified recently, and I was just surprised when they were rattling off the kinds of classes that you can take at through the Orange County Red Cross. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed that. You can join us with other questions and comments, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. In the meantime, we're going to move into something we typically do earlier in the show, and that's step into Talking Animals Comedy Corner. So this is sort of a vintage piece from animal, of course, related stand-up piece from the Smothers Brothers on KUCI.
Tommy, what? I want to know, have you ever thought about going into any other business?
Yes.
I mean, that's an escape route.
Yes.
What do you want to do?
I want to be a game hunter.
Game hunter?
Yeah. I want to go to the wilds of Australia and over in the east and be a big game hunter. Where I want to hunt the most vicious animals in the world.
Like what? What have you always wanted to hunt? I've always wanted to hunt, you know, if I was a hunter, maybe elephants or tigers.
Elephants and tigers?
Maybe even a lion.
They're vicious.
And maybe even a puma.
There's no crevasses over there.
What do you want to hunt?
I want to hunt vicious animals in Australia.
What kind of animals?
Gnus.
Gnu?
They're indigenous to Australia, the wilds of Australia. The vicious gnus, they attack people.
They do?
Snarling, vicious gnus.
What do they do?
They just eat up pumas. Gnus are tough.
They're very tough, huh?
Yeah,
how do they hurt you?
Well, if you come on a band of gnus, a group of gnus, you better well walk softly, stranger. If you come on a group of gnus in Australia, yeah. you've got to be very careful, because if you get belligerent with the gnu, they'll attack you and knock you to your knees. You better have a good knife with you.
They seem awful vicious.
They're very, very vicious.
Uh-huh. Well, why do you want to hunt them then?
I don't know. Nobody ever sees gnus. Very few people ever see gnus.
I don't know what a gnu is, and I don't even think there is such a thing. I'm not going to prolong this foolishness. There's no gnu. It's a product of your imagination.
Oh. Good thing I didn't go over there.
All right, that's the Smothers Brothers.
Tommy, what? I want to know, have you ever thought about going into...
All right. We can't have two Smothers Brothers things. Oh, my goodness. All right, that was the Smothers Brothers with their cut gnus taken from... Curb Your Tongue, Nave. All right, that took a while. Anyways, the Comedy Corner, of course, is a weekly feature of Talking Animals, and perhaps if we're not overreaching here, a signature feature of Talking Animals. If you have a suggestion of an animal-oriented piece of comedy you think we should include here on the Comedy Corner, please email us, talkinganimals@aol.com. And again, still happy to take any and all calls at 949-824-5824. And I think what we'll do, so we don't... miss this opportunity, just kind of skip ahead into another one of our little fun weekly features. It's Name That Animal Tune, but before we get into that, I do want to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. This is Duncan Strauss. It's 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine, streaming live on the internet via KUCI.org. And Name That Animal Tune is not unlike really any other version of Name That Tune you'd probably imagine, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. So usually by virtue of just one or more animals being part of the song title. Occasionally it's a little more indirect than that, but either way, like any version of this this game, it can only provide a brief snippet of the tune for a number of reasons. Not least that while the game kind of hinges on a song being somewhat recognizable, we also don't want to stray too far for too long from the KUCI music policy. So with that preamble behind us, but also knowing there will always be a prize. Did he say prize? Yes, he did. For the first caller who correctly identifies the song and artist, as soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone us at 949-824-5824. Looking at your phone pad a different way, 949-UCI-KUCI. So let's get started. It's Talking Animals on KUCI. See if you recognize this one. If so, call in and identify it. Here we go. All right, well, that should be enough. If you know the song, you'll know it from that. If you don't, then, you know, playing more other than getting into the vocal, which would say what the song is, it probably isn't going to help as much. So, anyways, if you do happen to know that one, call in 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And meanwhile, let's move into another little piece of animal-related music. This is... it's actually a gorilla song in this case, and this is the Laurel Canyon Animal Company with Fine Animal Gorilla on 88.9 FM, KUCI.
Wants a sign with me. I am fine animal gorilla. 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 I must confess that I have a dream to be the cover girl on Vogue magazine. To know me is to love me. So let me tell you my story of my fame and glory. I'm a California girl born on the 4th of July. Do you think I'd lie? She's such a pretty lady, and in a short time she taught me how to sign. She taught me how to paint, cause she's so fine. And I am fine animal gorilla. 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 I'm on a mission, and before it's too late, I need to find me a hubby, gotta get me a mate. I wanna make me a baby, and I don't need me. I'll say it straight, I need to procreate. To raise a family, I need some space. I need a new place, far from the rat race. Dr. Penny has a plan, and it's gonna take some money. Gotta get me to Maui, the land of milk and honey. I am fine animal gorilla. 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 Go, 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 go. Thank you. vision. You see that I'm unique and I'm on the brink. So it's time to think about taking a stand and joining my plans. Every woman and man will understand that it's time to see. There should be more of me.
Was Fine Animal Gorilla by the Laurel Canyon Animal Company, two guys who specialize in making music about animals, including entire CDs devoted to cats, to dogs, to all kinds of animals, including, obviously, Coco the Talking Gorilla. To find out more, you can visit their website at Laurel Canyon Animal Co., C-O, laurelcanyonanimalco.com. Just an example of the sort of unusual things you can often hear here at Good Old Talking Animals. And we're sort of nearing the end of our hour and sort of moving things around from what our typical format would be. But with that in mind, I want to get back to a couple of the news things that we ran out of time, including telling about an event that is coming up shortly down in the San Diego area. I know a lot of people, well, I don't know about a lot, but some people at least listen down there via the internet, kca.org. So I want to tell you about the fourth Animal Walk to benefit Rancho Coastal Humane Society. Countdown is on, and there's only one more week to gather pledges. On Saturday, August 16th, the turf meets the surf for hundreds of pets and their people at the Del Mar Racetrack. Announcing the fourth annual Animal Walk to benefit Rancho Coastal Humane Society of Encinitas, California. This year's theme, saving lives one step at a time. Starting point for this year's walk will be at the famous Del Mar Racetrack. Participants will enjoy the ocean breeze as they follow along the River Path Trail next to the lagoon. Registration begins at 7:30 a.m., followed by the blessing of the animals at 8:15 and the beginning of the walk at 8:30. The person who brings in the most pledges will win the grand prize of 2 nights and 3 days at the world-renowned Bellagio Hotel in Las Vegas. And the local booths and information and all kinds of stuff, pancakes, who knows what. So, you can download a pledge form or otherwise find out more by going to their website, RCH Humane Society, and the H of RCH is the same as humane, so it's RCHUMANE society.org. And further information, you can also call Kathy Fravel at 760-943-9180. So, we're going to hold off on our other news items, perhaps, for next week. And but we are sort of nearing our end of our time here for this week's edition of Talking Animals. And I want to remind you that the views and opinions, again, expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the UC Board of Regents. I want to thank our guest, Connie Lee Thompson. And again, that website, saddlebackvet.petplace.com, or by phone at 949-586-4250. I also want to thank you all for listening, and I really appreciate those who called in. Hope you'll join me again next week. At the moment, at least, our guest looks like it'll be Dr. Sophia Yin, a veterinarian, researcher, and a noted writer who has been pioneering research in the whole area of barking of dogs and what they mean, So she'll speak with us about that research and supplement her explanations with audio samples of dog barks. And so it's going to be a really, really fun, informative interview with Dr. Sophia Yen. That's planned for next Monday. So please plan to join us then. That's Monday at 9 a.m. as all editions of Talking Animals on. And again, there's other great public affairs programming on KCI throughout the week. Just today alone, of course, we had the Serena Sharp show prior to me. And then in the afternoon, we resume with Jock Talk at 4 p.m., Counterspin at 5, and then at 5:30, Planetary Radio. And this kind of stuff goes on pretty much all week, mainly in the 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 range, and then again usually 4 to 5 and 5 to 6 on KUCI. So by all means, please tune in for that. I want to urge you to email me with any comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@aol.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. We're going to close things out here with an animal-related tune. This is Miles Davis doing Bye Bye Blackbird. It's 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. We, again, want to recommend you catch the Blues Disease momentarily with Jeff Scott. Meanwhile, we'll catch you next week at this this time, Mondays, 9 o'clock, on Talking Animals, on KUCI in Irvine. Thanks again. See you then.
From Knockout Greg and Blue Weather, and you're listening to Jeff Scott infecting you with the blues disease.
Are you ready? 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 Are you ready?
Where's the blues? Three.